Sheila Sara.
Sheila Sara.
Qualitatively powerful.
Qualitatively powerful.
Yat. Because Uttamashloka. One who is praised by selected poems. Gunabhirupam. As beautiful as godly qualities. Translation. All the great sages who were assembled there also praised the decision of Maharaj Parikshit, and they expressed their approval by saying, "Very good." Naturally, the sages are inclined to do good to common men, for they have all the qualitative powers of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they were very much pleased to see Maharaj Parikshit, a devotee of the Lord, and they spoke as follows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The natural beauty of a living being is enhanced by rising up to the platform of devotional service. Maharaj Parikshit was absorbed in attachment for Lord Krishna. Seeing this, the great sages assembled were very pleased, and they expressed their approval by saying, "Very good." Such sages are naturally inclined to do good to the common man. And when they see a personality like Maharaj Parikshit advance in devotional service, their pleasure knows no bound, and they offer all blessings in their power. Devotional service of the Lord is so auspicious that all demigods and sages, up to the Lord himself, become pleased with the devotee, and therefore the devotee finds everything auspicious. All inauspicious matters are removed from the path of a progressive devotee. Meeting all the great sages at the time of death was certainly auspicious for Maharaj Parikshit, and thus he was blessed by the so-called curse of a Brahmana boy. So, I'll briefly comment this, and then we'll read a bunch of verses because we have to go to practically to the end of the canto. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kincham mukham karoti bachalam pangurlangayate girim yat kripata maham bande shigurum dinatajinam paramanandamadavam sachayatam namishwaram. So yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana. All the good qualities manifest in a devotee. And therefore, when there are very beautiful qualities manifesting, one becomes very attractive and everyone wants to associate with him. So the great sages are all in ecstasy to be with Maharaj Parikshit, recognizing his beautiful qualities. And they, as well, possess qualities. I mean, the soul has in its constitutional position has 78% qualities of the Supreme Lord in its constitutional position. Of course, in the material atmosphere, these qualities are covered, but the soul is qualitatively one with the Lord. And the more one advances in devotional service, the more these qualities become manifest, and by becoming manifest, they give a different vision to the devotee. Vishvapurna sukhayate. Everything becomes auspicious, very auspicious. Why? Because one sees things the same way the Lord sees. The Lord doesn't see this material world as an attractive place, but he sees it as his energy. He doesn't feel disgusted by it. He doesn't feel, I'd say he doesn't reject it. It's his energy. For him, it's lila. There's no difference. So for a devotee, Vishvapurna sukhayate, which is, Kaivalya narakayate, one sees This, how can one see this world as auspicious? I mean, there's many verses that say it's a hell, you know? Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartin arjunamapati. It's full of birth and death, and it's all dukkhalaya masasvatam. It's a place of misery. So how can a devotee see everything auspicious? Even a curse. Even a curse. He does see auspiciousness because he sees everything as the will of the Lord, as the plan of the Lord, and as an occasion for him, as a chance for him to engage in devotional service. In other words, a devotee in no circumstance whatsoever can see no way of being engaged in devotional service. Even in a condition of being cursed, even in a condition of someone, you know, in the most inauspicious, apparently inauspicious condition, this is wonderful ways to engage in service. So that is exceptional. It's an exceptional vision that only a devotee may have. And that's what's happening to Maharaj Parikshit. Everyone is, they're very happy to associate with him. It's an happy occasion. It's an auspicious occasion. His death. It's an auspicious occasion. Incredibly so, but it is. So, since there are, I think, 20 verses to read, I'll just read the verses, right? In bunches, so otherwise we... The sages said, O chief of all saintly kings of the Pandu dynasty who are strictly in the line of Lord Sri Krishna, it is not at all astonishing that you give up your throne, which is decorated with the helmets of many kings, to achieve eternal association with the personality of Godhead. We shall all wait here until the foremost devotee of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit, returns to the supreme planet, which is completely free from all mundane contamination and all kinds of lamentation. So the sages assembled there. As we said previously, it's an auspicious occasion, even if apparently it could seem to be inauspicious. And why are they so thrilled to be there? Why? Because they want to stay with this devotee until his death. They're going to miss him. They're going to miss him. There is nothing inauspicious. We already said that. Reasons ill tells that the Vaishnava die. Vaishnava doesn't die. He's still present. With his personality permeates the minds and the lives of the devotees that are still on this planet. But at the same time, there is a feeling of separation for not being able to seeing him physically present before us. That's why for devotees, but for Lord Chaitanya, we can see devotees suffering very much. They know, for example, Lord Chaitanya goes back, he's never been out of the spiritual world, but manifested it, and so his lila is withdrawn, but they suffer so much. Even his associates, Gadadhar Pandit, it becomes like a zombie almost, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves. And other devotees, when the Goswami leave, or it's a great suffering. One is aware that the devotee is with Krishna, is in the lila, but at the same time it's a great suffering. So this suffering is not something one should try to avoid. It's something that purifies the heart. It's an ornament. It's a beautiful quality of devotional service. Vipralamba, separation, is a deep emotion that intensifies our service to Krishna. So they are there to intensify their devotional service, actually. It's an act of devotional service. So they want to help him because they want to do good to others. They want to help him, they want to give him support. but at the same time, it's very enlivening and purifying for their hearts to be there and seeing a devotee passing away. And so that's why sometimes I give personal comments, but I was a little amazed that when Prabhupada was passing away from Vrindavan, I had gone there 2 days before, as I said yesterday, but then they sent me back to Calcutta saying, Prabhupada is coming to Mayapur, Prabhupada wants to come to Mayapur, and so you have to make the arrangements. And so I got there, I stayed there for 3 hours, then I had to take another train and go back to Calcutta. I 2 days before Prabhupada left, I was there 3 hours, so just seeing him going in Parikram, and then my authorities told me to go back. All right, I went back. And then after 2 days after Prabhupada left his body. But, I was amazed that not all the GBC men, not all the older devotees were there. Why? Now, many said, well, we are engaged in service, instruction is more important than the Bapu, Vani is more important than the Bapu. But what? Prabhupada is leaving this planet. Why don't you just leave everything, and just go there and stay with him? Even if you go there and you have to be there for an hour with him, how is it that you don't have the necessity, you don't feel the necessity just to be there? So I felt that was a little bit of overintelligence, And I really appreciated those devotees, not just because are my friends, and but those devotees who stayed there with Prabhupada till the last moment. They were with him, and every breath, every word he had said, they were there, and they were really in great anxiety, and in great feeling of separation, like Tamakrishna Maharaj and others, Bhattacharya Swami, Bhavananda and many others. So it was, it is something very moving when the devotee leaves. It's not just, we know the philosophy, he goes back to the, he's already in the Leela of Krishna, he lives in Vrindavan, it squares up, done, and no, it doesn't work like that, If you really have attachment, deep, deep attachment, I'm not judging or criticizing, but actually many of those who had huge positions at the time, they're not with us anymore. And for me, it's not surprising. You had to go and run to stay with Srila Prabhupada. Even up to the last moment, it's not that the zone would fall down or fall off or anything, but anyhow, personal comment, take it as that. But they were there. They wanted to stay. So all that was spoken by the great sages was very sweet to hear, full of meaning and appropriately presented as perfectly true. So after hearing them, Maharaj Parikshit, desiring to hear of the activities of Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, congratulated the great sages. The king said, "O great sages, you have all very kindly assembled here, having come from all parts of the universe. You are all as good as supreme knowledge personified, who resides in the planet above the three worlds, Satyaloka. Consequently, you are naturally inclined to do good to others, and for this you have no interest, either in this life or the next." So, let's see if there is any other. Okay, now next is the question. So, he's praising the sages, and he says they are like knowledge personified Vedas. And I think Prabhupada in the purport speaks about Satyaloka, where there are perfected beings that live there, and they are, they actually... on the same level of Brahma. There are different kinds of inhabitants of Brahma Loka. Some of them are very pious karmis, some of them are very pious gyanis, some of them are yogis, some of them are pure devotees. There's different kinds. And here he's talking about those who are Vedas personified, and they come and praise Krishna and when he appears. So, like that, you know, very elevated place. But we should aspire to go back home, back to Godhead. I mean, it's, you know, for a scholar, it's interesting to go there. It would be interesting, you know, all knowledge personified, forms of knowledge personified. Yeah? because, yeah, of course, Brahma is a special type of body made of the matatva, and so is, you know, he is also knowledge, you know, he is knowledge personified, and anyhow, very interesting, but we should go back home, back to God. So, now, he says, Maharaj Parikshit, O trustworthy Brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die. So this is important. This is the most important question. What is the duty of human life? You know, what is my duty as a soul? You know, what should I do? And specifically, at the time of death, when I have to change body. So Prabhupada comments somewhere that this is the basic question for all the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, Maharaj Parikshit situation. You know, and Bhagavatam tells you about the ultimate duty in life, the ultimate purpose of life. So, so this question is perfect, and only an animal-like human being, you know, will not ask this question. They will not be preoccupied and concerned about death when he has to leave the body. I just read the other day, Prabhupada was saying. Animals cannot become perfect, but man like animal can become perfect, almost like God, you know? I mean, almost, no, not exactly like God, but almost like. So, who is he referring to? Animal like man, you know? Animal like. It's referring to us. We are concerned about our bodies. We are, you know, in general, people that just their body is so important that anything that is not taking into consideration the body or the body welfare, or the body's qualities or beauty is, you know, somewhat not interesting or virtual. Something that, you know, I mean, the body is essential, very important, fundamental, and everything has to revolve around that. Absolutely. So this kind of life, this is the materialistic way of life. And people go in the ditch, in the ditch without understanding, you know, why they got a body, why they lived in a body, what was the purpose of the body. It's actually terrible. It's actually a tragic comedy, this world. And ultimately, it's tragic because their death will be horrible. If you don't understand what death is and you don't approach death with the proper consciousness, death is horrible. It's terrible. It takes away everything you love, everyone you love. It takes away all you've done. It sends you to an unknown place. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's happening. And besides that, suffering. Suffering. Terrible suffering. So, if you've been all your life thinking how to take care nicely of the body and all of the everything around the body, you know, in full illusion, then death is really horrible. It's really an idea. They are right to be fearful of death. They're right to have fear. To see the death with horror, because you know everything is gone. And so, I mean, we see so many examples. I was just reading in the news yesterday. The whole world is speaking about Angelina Jolie's breast. She has removed her breast because of, how do you say, mastectomy, because of possible cancer. That breast, worshipped by millions of men, as a beautiful deity, you know. There, you know, oh, but some time ago, it's, you know, it's some plastic, whatever it's called, silicone insulators. But the whole world is talking about. The whole world, you know, it's talking about an actors, an actress, but it's madness. It's madness. And I was also reading some time earlier. It's crisis, right? In Europe, there is a big crisis, economic crisis. You know what? One of the businesses that doesn't go down, is actually improving, is those beauty parlors, the wellness place where you go and get your hair stripped off, or you know, get you know younger or whatever, some plaster or whatever. You know, that doesn't go down, the business. Even people, people are renouncing food, but they don't renounce death. You know, I mean, they save the money. Okay, we eat less, we'll recycle something, but we have to go. I get rid of the wrinkles or whatever it is, you know. Otherwise, you know, I look at myself in the mirror and the wrinkles, who's that? So it's madness. People don't understand. Only a devotee can really face death with such a courage, with such happiness. A devotee or a crazy man. Timothy Leary, you know Timothy Leary? You have heard about him? No, you're too young. The prophet of LSD. Yeah, we know. The prophet of LSD. Timothy Leary. Dietilamide dell'acido lisergico. I mean, he synthesized, you know, this LSD, and he took a lot as well. So he was, I don't know if he's dead now. He should be dead by now. He was 70. So at the age of 74, they diagnosed cancer to him. And he said, "Oh, I'm intrigued. I'll fill myself up with LSD and wait for death." You know, I mean, and that's a man. You know, so he was intrigued and he wanted to see, because his whole life was based on this Bardo Todol, which is the Tibetan Book of the Dead. You know, all spooky stuff, the horrible things. So he was intrigued. So either a madman or a great soul, like in Kulashekar Parimal, you know. Krishna tadiya padapankaja panjaranta adhyayva visa tumemana saraja hamsa prana prayana samayaka favata pita kanta varudana nidaha smaranam kutasta. He actually prays to die sooner. I mean, no, it's one step further Maharaj Parikshit, in one sense. They are the same platform. But Maharaj Parikshit is told 7 days. You know, any accepted. Kulashekar says, "I don't know what it's going to be, you know, I'm doing well now, but let it happen now." So, you know, even if it has to happen, who knows when, he asks for it to happen now. Why? Because now my mind can enter the stem of the lotus feet, or the stem of the lotus feet, or of the lotus of your feet, and, you know, I can think of you, and otherwise, you know, Kantavarana. How will I be able to remember you, Smaranam Kutasta, if kapha vita, kapha pita vata, vata pita is a different thing, kapha pita vata are obstructing my breath, and my mind becomes chaotic, and I can't get together my thoughts anymore. My intelligence is here and there. You know, he's thinking, I don't care of living more years, or you know, let it happen now. If now I could come back home back to Godhead. That's the idea. So only a devotee can have such an attitude, pure devotee. Otherwise, it's difficult. And we have to pray that we purify our heart in a way that we also don't see death with horror, but we may not pray for it, you know, immediately. Be careful, because one may try, may test Krishna, and Krishna may make it happen. But we may not pray for death to come right away for the body, but by reading and following these beautiful examples of wonderful devotees, you know, at least we can remember them, how they faced that, and taking shelter of them, that may not be horrifying for us as well. Okay, I'm going on. At that moment, there appeared the powerful sun. Oh, one point also to be said. Okay, I'll say it. There's many points that I'm skipping. At that moment, there appeared the powerful son of Vyasadeva, who traveled over the earth, disinterested and satisfied with himself. He did not manifest any symptoms of belonging to any social order or stages of life. He was surrounded with women and children, and he dressed as his fathers had neglected him. This son of Vyasadeva was only 16 years old. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead, and the other parts of his body were all delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully wide, and his nose and ears were highly raised. He had a very attractive face, and his neck was well formed and beautiful like a conch shell. His collarbone was fleshy, his chest broad and thick, his navel deep, and his abdomen beautifully stripped. His arms were long, and curly hair was strewn. Can you say strewn? Yeah. S-T-R-E-W-N? Strewn. Over his beautiful face. Yeah. He was naked, and the hue of his body reflected that of Lord Krishna. He was dark and very beautiful due to his youth. Because of the glamour of his body and his attractive smiles, he was pleasing to women. Though he tried to cover his natural glories, the great sages present there were all expert in the art of physiognomy, yeah, right. And so they honored him by rising from their seats. Maharaj Parikshit, who is also known as Vishnurata, who is always protected by Vishnu, bowed his head to receive the chief guest, Sukadev Goswami. At that time, all the ignorant women and boys ceased following Srila Sukadeva. Receiving respect from all, Sukadev Goswami took his exalted seat. Okay, beautiful Sukadeva Goswami. Is interesting. Okay, I'll read a couple more verses, I guess. Sukadeva Goswami was then surrounded by saintly sages and demigods, just as the moon is surrounded by stars, planets, and other heavenly bodies. His presence was gorgeous, and he was respected by all. The sage Sri Sukadeva Goswami sat perfectly pacified, intelligent, and ready to answer any question without hesitation. The great devotee, Maharaj Parikshit, approached him, offered his respects by bowing before him, and politely inquired with sweet words and folded hands. Two things. Sukadeva Goswami is beautiful. Very attractive. And the sages know this art of physiognomy, which actually comes from Greek. Physio means feature or nature. And gnom means knowledge, you know, to know, the knower. Physiognomy, okay, in Italian. Okay. So they knew how to detect the state of consciousness of a person by his face or by his features, which nowadays it's considered to be a pseudoscience. It's considered to be a pseudoscience nowadays. Actually, it's offensive. If you see someone like this, you know, you say, the guy is a rascal, you know. No? How do you know his inner feeling? Besides the fact that everyone is a rascal nowadays. But so it's not considered to be a science. But we can see from the Bhagavatam, and even, you know, in ancient times, you know, people could detect up to the, I think, 16th century, some Swiss guy, 17th century Swiss guy, and then before that an Italian, I think, De La Porta. They had all these drawings, all the different faces, you know, all the, you know, broad, you know, and nose like this, always peaceful. You know, that they, now I don't know if that was the 17th century description was appropriate, but certainly these sages, who were highly elevated brahmanas, rishis, I mean, they could even see the subtle body of some people. The subtle body was, you know, if they could see devas, I mean, they could see also the subtle body, and they could see by the feature, that this is great personality. So it's not a pseudoscience. It's just like astrology. You needed to have somebody expert in doing it, you know. It was a science. Nowadays, probably said, nobody knows. But in those days, you know, these rishis and sages were very, very knowledgeable. And so they could detect, here is a self-realized soul, here is a... Therefore, even if he was 16 years old, you know, not well, not maybe not clean even, because as we know, he ran away, he got out of the womb of his mother after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, because otherwise he wouldn't come out of a womb for 16 years. A long, you know, long delivery for a lady, 16 years. So then, you know, Vyasadeva wanted him back, so he created another Sukadeva that went back, but he ran, you know, naked in all places. And so he arrives here, at the right time. Right at the right time. Why? Because Parikshit is a beautiful disciple. He's a wonderful disciple as well. Now, and he's sincere, anxious, desirous to gain perfection, to arrive to Krishna's lotus feet, to reach Krishna's lotus feet. So Krishna's sense is representative. That's it. That's the way it works. Sincerity, you know, Krishna speaks in our heart as the Chaita Guru, but we are not listening. So when we are sincere enough, his sense is representative. Now, of course, Maharaj Parikshit is a special case. He was a pure devotee before, as Sukadeva, but so it takes place on a different platform, but they are so elevated and so wonderful that they are the examples of Shravanam, Parikshit, and Kirtanam, Sukadeva Goswami. They are, you know, in the nine processes of devotional service, there are personalities that exemplify that way of performing service, and he is... And these two are the perfect disciple and the perfect master, in the action of Shravana and Kirtana. So he arrives, and now we see, by Krishna's grace, we should understand that, you know, it's Krishna actually that manifests as a spiritual master. Not that it's Vishnu, not that Sukadeva Swami thinks he's Vishnu Tattva. But it's Krishna that expands as the spiritual master when he sees someone sincere. Therefore, when Prabhupada was asked, how, you know, do I find a spiritual master? What if a person in that condition, even devotees were asking, what if a person living in that era, in that place, in that condition, you know, how could he? Prabhupada said, if one is sincere, Krishna finds the way to put him in touch with the spiritual master. He finds the way. like Dhruva Maharaj, you know. I mean, he's 5 years old, even though he's got desires, but he's determined. So his mother becomes his Vartma Pradarshaka, his Pata Pradarshaka Guru, tells him, go to the forest. And he goes to the forest, he doesn't know what's going to find, you know. But then Krishna sends Narada. He sends Narada for Dhruva, he sends Narada for you know, I mean, in many, many situations, to many people. So Krishna has ways. It's just a matter of sincerely being wanting to reach the goal of life, to reach Krishna's lotus feet, perfection. Then Krishna has no boundary for Krishna, there's no barrier for him. So, and we see now the attitude of the disciple politely inquired, you know, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevayo parikshantite gana. We know this verse, but there is an element to this. Submissiveness, proper inquiry service, but there is an element to this that we'll talk about. The fortunate King Parikshit said, O Brahmana, by your mercy only, you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage. All by your presence here as my guest, by your mercy we, who are but unworthy royalty, become eligible to serve the devotee. And simply by remembering you, our houses become instantly sanctified. And what to speak of seeing you, touching you, washing your holy feet, and offering you a seat in our home? Just as the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence, O saint, O great mystic. Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is very dear to the sons of King Pandu, has accepted me as one of those relatives just to please his great cousins and brothers. Otherwise, without being inspired by Lord Krishna, how is that you have voluntarily appeared here, though you are moving incognito to the common man and are not visible to us who are on the verge of death? You are the spiritual master of great saints and devotees. I am therefore begging you to show the way of perfection for all persons, and especially for one who is about to die. Please let me know what a man should hear, chant, remember, and worship, and also what he should not do. Please explain all this to me. O powerful Brahmana, it is said that you hardly stay in the house of a man long enough to milk a cow. Shishuta Goswami said, the king thus spoke and questioned the sage using sweet language. Then the great and powerful personality, the son of Vyasadeva, who knew the principles of religion, began his reply. So, there is an element of utter humility. He thinks just to please his cousin and brothers, he's accepted me as a devotee. He doesn't think he has accepted me as a devotee because he saw some quality in me. He doesn't think like that. And it also essential to notice, I'll try to be eloquent, which is not my quality, but I try to be fair, the anxiety that he feels, Maharaj Parikshit, the anxiety. He wants, you know, you may go to the spiritual master and be humble, submissive. You may offer your service. You may understand how to inquire. But if there is no anxiety, if there is no strong desire to gain that information, to be guided, to reach, you know, the goal, then it may become a bit a matter of formality. And of course, better you remain humble, I mean, says, you, or, you know, even somewhat superficial, than becoming a guru droha, you know, somebody that offends the guru, or guru tyagi, one who gives up the guru, and, you know, somewhat, okay, guru bhumi, you know, tries to. But, you know, one should think, I'm not going to gain the mercy of my spiritual master if he doesn't detect in me the anxiety to go become back to God, to really gain perfection, to reach the goal of life. If he doesn't see me as sincerely concerned about the proper use of this human body, the proper use of this human life, and anelito, it's an Italian word, anelito, it's whenever you desire something, it's an ancient word. So this longing for, you know, devotional service. So that's what characterizes Maharaj Parikshit approach to Sukadeva Goswami. Because if he hadn't had that, how could he be sitting for 7 days listening? He sat for 7 days listening. So much anxiety to hear, to listen, so much desire to listen. You know, you must have an incredible desire. Not eat, not drink, nothing. Forget about, you know, I'm gonna die. You know, I'm gonna die. You know, the body is gonna die. But the desire to hear is so strong. The anxiety to hear about Krishna's pastimes. And the other sages, and he's very enthused now, Maharaj Parikshit, because when he asked the question to the other sages, they really couldn't, of course, Vyasadeva was there, Narada were there, but, you know, they knew the plan, Sukadeva was coming. But the other sages couldn't figure it out. I mean, they were elevated sages, rishis. One went towards, you know, Nishkam Karma Yoga, one went towards, you know, Gyanakand, one, you know, there were some, you know, Gyana Mishra Bhakti, or whatever, you know, there's so many things, you know. So it was like, it's not that they were, you know, fist fighting with each other, but, you know, but it was a little, I recall having read somewhere that there was a little bit of unrest there, you know, which way are we going to tell, what are we going to tell him, how are we going to, and that at that point. You know, because he's so sincere, so much in anxiety, Sukadeva Goswami goes there for him. So, as you say in Formula One, the best car goes to the best driver. it's not a very good analogy, but my grandfather was. So it is a fact that the best spiritual master goes to the sincere disciples. So we are all very fortunate because we have Srila Prabhupada as our preeminent Shiksha Guru, our founder Acharya, present in the life of all of us. We'll talk about it maybe a little bit tonight. So we're all very fortunate. Well, we shouldn't think we are so sincere. And we go to the last part of the class now. He wants to hear what to chant, what to hear, what, you know, he wants to know. And as we, it is, in this age, Sankirtan Yagya, in a Krishna Katha, hear and chant about Krishna, Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastime, Namarupa Guna Lila. That's what, the encounter, Mahatseva Dwara, with such a great devotee, or with a great devotee, should bring about. So, now, it is interesting. I think I read somewhere, sometime, Srila Sridhar Swami was saying, commenting, that how and why to distribute the holy name and to because Maharaj Parikshit is actually, by his leaving, you know, opens the door to the age of Kali. You know. So why is that Krishna didn't stop Kali from coming? That was a question. So Kali had to come in at one point. There are four ages. Kali somehow or other has to come in. So if Maharaj Parikshit been staying on the earth, you know, then Kali could not come in. So it was an arrangement of the Lord. Now, Sridhar Swami also, he asks the question, well, how is there to give this hearing and chanting of Shravanam Kirtanam? I mean, especially the Sankirtan, you know, the glorification of the Lord by chanting, has to manifest in such a difficult circumstance like Kali Yuga, such a difficult predicament like Kali Yuga. Couldn't it be, you know, a little softer, the situation? You know, why? So then he answers this by saying that in Satya Yuga and other yugas, but especially Satya Yuga, but also other yugas, the people, you know, were, you know, so elevated that they didn't feel like that they just had to move their tongue and chant to attain perfection. They were intrigued and attracted by, I mean, can you imagine, you're born a Hamsa, you know, you live 100,000 years, and as soon as you just look, you know, within, you see the super soul, right there, they're born mystic, no, they're right there, the super soul, not, you know, Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie. The super soul is there, you know, like that, and all the mystic powers manifest with personalities, you know, like, you know, by, and this method of purification and elevation is, you know, is attractive. So, to just give that up, to chant, to hear chant, they can't do it. They can't do it. Because, you know, they don't feel all this, you know, suffering or anything. You know, it's not that anxiety. They're already set for this wonderful process. And they go for that. The same goes for big sacrifices. I mean, these sacrifices were not like, Prabhu, can you bring some more ghee and a piece of, you know, of that pallet there, break it, you know, for a second. No. Which is nice, you know, sacrifice, we do it. Prabhupada even went in Australia, instead of fruit, when he stole the deities, they brought fruit salad. They had a fruit salad, you know, in the air. He said, okay, you know, fruit salad or, you know, in the arena or something, you put a fruit salad. And whipped cream or something. So, of course, Prabhupada was very merciful. But in those ages, you know, they had to sacrifice, all the devas would come. The devas would come, the Mahapurush, you know, would appear, you know, it's like something, you know, it's not just like going to a feast with nice, you know, people. That's, you know, the old universal leaders, they come. It's a wonderful thing. So just go there and chant, only chanting, it wouldn't attract them. Same goes for, you know, when you could worship the deities, you know, in Dwapara, you know. Just like Prabhupada said, even now, you know, the deities can speak to you. But at that point, you know, even in the worship, you could actually interact and you know, like a daily affair almost. And so, you know, all these things were, you know, something that attracted the minds of people, and they would not limit, quote unquote, limit themselves just in chanting. But in Kali Yuga, we are so mentally disturbed. It's such a mess. Kalir Dosu Nidhi Raja. You know, it's an ocean of faults. Kalir Dosu Nidhi Raja. Asti Hieku Mahadguna. Well, but there is only one thing we can grasp to, is the holy name. Is a holy name, including, you know, description of Krishna's qualities, form, and pastimes, you know, Shravanam Kirtanam. We can grasp only to that. There's nothing else for us. And therefore, that's the reason why Kali is auspicious, more even than Satya Yuga in one sense. Kali is auspicious means even the miserable condition that we have is auspicious. We have to see it like that, because if it goes well, we forget Krishna. We forget to chant, we forget to grasp to Krishna's lotus feet. When things go you know, we have this experience that, you know, Kunti, Devi prays like that, you know, when things go a little better, you know, oh, then there's no feeling of anxiety anymore, and, you know, it's like, you know, okay, I chant, nice, but, you know, it becomes, it's the same way, you know. What should I ask my spiritual master? No, I mean, you know, he came, he had a nice class, you know. It's fine with me, I don't have any. But, therefore, Kali, as a servant of Krishna, just has to give misery. Okay, you think you're well? Okay, an earthquake. You think you're well? Now, some mental problem to your son-in-law. You're there now, it's like something has to happen, because we have to be pushed towards the holy name. You know, it's otherwise we tend to become complacent, even in such an ugly situation. You know, avaranatmika, prakshapatmika. Maya has these potencies, it covers you up. You know, I remember I used to go to Shell, to Mayapur from Calcutta, living from Shelda station, you know, the train when I was living in Mayapur. Sometimes you had to go to Calcutta. Shelda station, I don't know how it is now, I haven't gone back, but at that time, Shelda station, Howrah station, it looks like heaven in compared to Shelda station. Shelda station was something else, you know. I mean, every centimeter, square centimeter of the place was taken by, you know, beggars, by bums, you know, as you say. it was, and I noticed by walking that one guy with a, you know, they limit their space by a dirty piece of rag or something, and they are there 4 or 5 with their family, you know, living there, sleeping there, you know, etc., etc., etc. So by passing by, I was noticing that one guy was sitting on his rag with, you know, 2, 3 children, 1 or 2 women, whatever, and he was smoking a bidi. You know, half a bidi probably got in somewhere, you know, some people throw it away. These are the real, you know, bona fide beggars from Calcutta. I mean, you can't find a beggar more beggar than that, you know. I mean, a more poorer than that, you don't find. And so the other guy, his neighbor, you could say, his neighbor was there. He was looking at him with envy. He said, this guy is really enjoying, you know what I mean? They were both on a rag, you know, only but one guy had a half a bidi, you know, which is a tobacco leaf, you know. So this man, you know, was probably going to be dying. They were all dirty, filthy, you know, just who knows what, you know. So they're diseased, you know, but he thought he was doing well. So in Kali Yuga, we are like this. We have miserable bodies, we have miserable existences, but as soon as things go a little better, you know, we just forget everything. That's why Shridhar Swami says, that's why Kali Yuga is so bad. Because otherwise we wouldn't be taking this incredible mercy, which is, by the way, not a kind of mercy, reduced mercy, abridged mercy for Kali Yuga people. Is the highest form of mercy. Is the highest form of mercy. But in order to gain that highest form of mercy, you have to be in the worst condition. That's it. That's it. So we have to accept that and be grateful to Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya, Anarpita Charim Chirat Karunayava Tirna Kalu. You know, is out of incredible mercy. For us, only Lord Chaitanya could work. But he has to work in conjunction with Kali. That, you know, creates a difficult situation. Now, the more a devotee advances, the more that difficulty may not be absolutely necessary. Difficulties. But advancement means that you don't have this, how do you say, andatamisha, some kind of resentment towards Krishna because of the difficult situations we are forced to live in. But we see it as a platform from which, you know, we can become devotees. So we don't resent Krishna. Oh, why? I mean, it's not, it shouldn't be like that. Should be a little better. So we have, you know, asti eko mahaguna kirtana deva Krishna se mukta sangopram vajet. You know, with Krishna kirtan, we can go back home, back to Godhead. Within this very lifetime, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, you know, I did what I could, you know. 22 verses, I mean, it's an older purpose. I did what I could, you know. Any questions or comments? Some major thing that I forgot? I'm sure, yes.
This is just a very small question. In the verses that you read, is it the case, I don't recall it exactly, but is it the case that Parikshit asked the question twice? About?
Yes, he asked the question twice. He first asks the sages, and they were there, you know, trying to, you know, find, you know, an agreement. The committee was working, but wasn't coming to a conclusion. So, as it is said, a camel is an horse designed by a committee or something like this. Then, you know, when his spiritual master arrived, you know, he asked the question again. And also that shows how, you know, you really need someone that without hesitation, it is said, he was ready to answer any question without hesitation. That's bona fide spiritual master. Which doesn't mean, you know, as people thought, you know, Prabhupada to be omniscient, you know, you ask him the electric diagram of the Boeing 747, he had to tell you, you know, something like this. Prabhupada said, if I need to know something, Krishna will tell me. And so he's ready to answer any intelligent question. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj ki jai, Shinitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo.
Is it a